Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Red Guards, the Cultural Revolution, 20th century nightmares, and yet Red Memory, the new book, The Afterlives of China's Cultural Revolution by Tanya Bronigan, takes us back to that time of the People's Republic of China and then brings us forward again. We begin with an event, however, that is Tanya's reporting as a representative of the Guardian newspaper, and it is the Hu Jintao era. This is the first decade of the 21st century. And we visit the Pagoda Museum. What is significant about this is that there's a museum that appears to be remembering the Red Guards, remembering the Cultural Revolution. And yet, Tanya, congratulations and a very good evening to you. Your book is a delight only because all of this is new to me. At the same time, I remember what I was doing in 1966, 1970, 1979. With no knowledge of these terrible events. You go to a museum, and the museum is the product of one man's genius, Peng Qian. What does the museum represent? What was it meant to represent as you visited? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on your show. The museum in Shantou is really the only place in China that records the history of the Cultural Revolution. And this, of course, was a decade that really tore China apart. We saw extraordinary violence, chaos, then a long period of stagnation in which China was really shut off from the outside world. 2 million people, we think, died, tens of millions hounded. And yet it's one that's largely been erased from official history, certainly. And the museum in Shantou was the attempt of an official called Peng Qian, as you say, really to try and grasp that history, to keep that memory alive, because he, like a small but very dedicated number of people in China, felt that it was essential to remember what had happened, to not allow those memories to be lost completely. And so, in fact, partly because he was somebody inside the system, he used his sheer determination, his connections from all the years that he'd worked as an official. He managed to persuade people to give him some money, some very wealthy businessmen. And eventually, he managed to build this small museum. But he was only able to do it even then because he did it in a very out-of-the-way place. It's a large but quite quiet port city down in the south of China. He did it much further away outside the city, a rather remote area, partly because it's the site of mass graves of victims of the Cultural Revolution, but also really it was its obscurity that allowed the museum to be founded, because even at the time it was very sensitive, and it's only become more so.
Yeah, there are ironies here. First of all, he's a deputy mayor of the city, and he is sponsored by a very wealthy man in Hong Kong, Li Ka-shing. It's called Pagoda Park, and there was one phrase that describes it: using history as a mirror, never let the Cultural Revolution happen again. And yet, Tanya is there as a reporter for The Guardian, a respected international newspaper. And then there are men watching her climb the steps to the museum. They're wearing golfing clothes. Who are they, Tanya?
They're undercover security people, undercover cops, which is pretty common in China. And I think particularly as the Cultural Revolution Museum became more sensitive over time. Initially, it had a little sort of trickle of visitors. Then, in fact, because they had domestic coverage in the Chinese language media, you really did start to see a stream of people going there. And because of that, the authorities essentially said, well, don't report on it anymore. You know, we're not going to have signposts. So even when you arrive at the park, there's a little map of the park. There's no sign of the museum on that map. Really, it was an attempt to shut the subject down. They weren't going to destroy the museum entirely, but they certainly didn't want people visiting. And so around sensitive times, such as anniversaries of particularly grim events within the Cultural Revolution, you would have a memorial taking place at the museum, but then you'd also have this sort of huge phalanx of undercover police who would attend it. And so I think really because of that, when they saw there was a visitor and particularly a foreign visitor, they were very alert to the possibility that they really didn't want sort of outsiders being there. And certainly by the time I'd got all the way up the steps, because it's quite a large park, to the building at the top where the core of the museum is housed, then I discovered that it was closed off for maintenance or safety reasons.
What is inside this museum? What do we need to know? Perhaps an opening of the mystery, another museum, the National Museum, the Great Hall of the People, which you attended. And you note, my note here says that there is mention of the Cultural Revolution, but it's in a dingy corridor or a dingy wall, and it doesn't have any explanations. Did I write that correctly?
So, yes, you have this vast exhibition at the National Museum of China, which is its central key mark exhibition. It's the one that Xi Jinping goes to, pretty much his first public act after becoming the leader of China, is to take his colleagues in the Politburo Standing Committee down to see this grand exhibition. And it tells the story of how the Communist Party essentially rescued China from aggression by foreign hands, the British, of course, but others as well, and propelled it into this age of prosperity and material wealth. But it only has a very, very small space for what it calls setbacks on the road to socialism. And within that, there's a single picture, which is not even, in fact, of the Cultural Revolution itself, but of the aftermath of the Cultural Revolution, of people celebrating the fact it's over, essentially.
And so if you attend the National Museum, this period of time is given no explanation to young people, to visitors from the outside. It is many years later since you first visited. This was the time of Hu Jintao, not Xi Jinping. Are they still there? Is the dingy corner still there in the National Museum? Is the Pagoda Museum still existing? Do we know?
To the best of my knowledge, the dingy corner is still there. I haven't been back to see for myself. Certainly, the authorities haven't reversed their verdict on the Cultural Revolution, which is that it was a catastrophe. But as time has gone on, and particularly under Xi Jinping, they've said less and less about those years. And so they really don't want people to talk about what happened or to dwell on it. It is in the school textbooks, but it's dealt with very much in passing. And as to the museum in Shantou, unfortunately, the last I heard, it had been very firmly closed off to the public. Many of the statues of prominent victims of the Cultural Revolution had been covered up. Some of the big walls talking about events, these sort of grand etched stone walls talking about what happened, had big propaganda posters pasted over them. So it's a very different place now. And I think one of the things that's so striking about that to me is that certainly when I visited, there was absolutely no other visitor in sight, because they'd kept it so unreported on, so marginal. It certainly wasn't something that was kind of creating a popular alternative narrative. It was something that almost nobody really knew about. And yet, even then, that in itself has just been too sensitive even to tolerate that very mild, very muted, or very small and obscure form of alternative history.
We need to begin the story of what that museum talks about, but is not permitted to be seen by the Chinese people. When we come back, it is August 1966. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bass.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.